Oh, no? All right. Let's get Christopher Titus in here before we completely sink this ship.
Yeah, it's there's an iceberg straight ahead.
Christopher Titus is going to be performing at the Irvine Improv today through Sunday. Irvine.improv.com.
Good morning, bitches.
Good morning.
Hey,
good to see you.
Good. Hi. Thanks for having me. I've been TV all week, and I had to get up and get ready. And now I'm just dressed in a hat and
isn't
funky
it awesome?
Sweatpants. Yes.
I saw you on TV. I saw you on the Studio LA.
Studio LA, yes. Why? I scared the hell out of Christine Devine.
You really did. She actually sat back on the couch. She's like, oh.
I did a Seymour Hoffman joke. You know, well, it wasn't bad. I'm just like, you know, the guy had 50 bags of heroin. I mean, I didn't know you can get it at Costco. Was it Kirkland heroin? I mean, 50 bags? The dude was buying bricks at a time. And we were talking on the podcast yesterday. Anytime you buy something in a brick, you need to stop and examine your life. Anything you're buying in brick form, take a minute and think, I'm using too much of this. No matter what it is. Cheese in a brick? If you're buying bricks of cheese, that's too much cheese. Heroin in a brick? Too much heroin. Let's just call it as it is. So, good morning. So, we've already started with Seymour Hoffman. Now, let's go to Jews.
Yeah.
I don't even know what I'm
Nothing
doing today.
Nothing is off limits around
I
here.
I do not know what I'm doing today.
Yeah. Just stay away from Romance at McDonald's. It seems to fail
you
every
time. You can't make it funny. We've tried.
You can't not make
it
funny.
For half an hour.
What's Romance at McDonald's? Is that a new rap man?
No. There's.
He sounds like a 90. Is that one of those new rap groups? When did I turn into a 90-year-old man?
No, McDonald's is a branch in North Carolina that's putting on a Valentine's Day night special where it's going to have a candlelight dinner. They're going to seat you. They're going to take your order at the table. And
wow.
And there's going to be a guy, musical selections by Ron, just a guy named Ron. And so he came up with songs that would be romantic songs at McDonald's. And
so when you want a divorce,
horrible.
You do this.
You take
you know, I really can't get rid of this human being. I'm going to take him to McDonald's on Valentine's Day. Where are we going? McDonald's.
You were married last time you were on. You recently got married.
I recently got married. Yeah, I'm really happy. It's freaking me out. I don't know what to do.
Valentine's Day, now that you're married, do you have to try anymore? What are you doing?
It's weird. I don't know what to do this year. I don't know what to do.
You don't have to do anything. You married her.
You're not married now. What are you going to do? What are you leaving? I'm not even taking you to McDonald's. Here's a gift certificate. Remember those gift certificates? Hey, take it. Shut up. Drive through.
Now, were you guys friends before you got married? Was it that situation, or did you have to woo her?
Well, I had to woo her. She's way out of my league. You know, there's a certain. You guys all have a level thing, and it takes you a while. If instantly a guy doesn't hit on your level, you're not real open to it. He has to work and chip away. I had to chip away.
You chip away
because I'm a douche and she's great. That's pretty much how it is. And I had to chip away. She used to run a comedy club, and actually our first words to each other. The soundboard was
you're fired.
No. The first words were, they had this little Radio Shack soundboard. It was as big as this thing. And I walked in, I have my own lav mic. And I'm like, what the hell is this? I go, is this your soundboard, really? I go, what the hell is Revon? She goes, you're kind of a prima donna. And I go, yeah, you're kind of a bitch. That was literally our first two sentences to each other. And then we didn't go out. I didn't like her. And she bounced a check on me that week. The company bounced a check on me. And then about 6 months later, I found out that my ex was seeing two other men. Found an email that she'd written to one of the guys who knew the other guy. She said, please don't tell the other guy that you and I were dating because I'm dating him now. And I'm like, you know, you have a husband. He's here. I'm here. I'm reading the email. So I knee-jerked and filed for divorce, which I shouldn't have done. What I should have done is not just calm down. By the way, people, if you find out someone's cheating on you and want to get divorced, don't knee-jerk and call them on it. The best story I ever heard is this guy. There was a guy that found out, a friend of mine, Zach Ward, the guy who played my brother on the show, had a friend who found out that his wife was cheating. Walked in on them, okay? Walked in, said, it's okay, I forgive you. I haven't been taking care of it. He quit his job the next day, didn't tell her, and for the next year, got up every morning, went to work, and spent their money. At the end of the year, he came back, said, I want a divorce. She goes, well, I get half everything. He goes, there's nothing left, and he walked.
Oh, my God, that is awesome.
Took him a year. You got to be diabolical. Right. Don't be a jerk like me. Oh, I'm out of here. You suck.
Yeah.
No, because it cost me everything I ever earned. I would have loved to have spent everything I earned. And they go. So he quit his job, was showing up. She didn't even know. And he went through their savings. He got a second on the house. At the end of the thing, they owed more money on the house than it was worth. And he was just like, later.
To find out that your ex had cheated on you and then going into it for another round, going into the second marriage, I mean – Did you ever think you'd ever do it again?
Yeah, I think everybody should get through their first marriage. Get married first and get rid of that one. Get married,
that's
go
just
through
your
the nightmare.
Marriage.
Right, call the cops when you need to. Do what you got to do. Get through all the bad stuff.
Yeah.
Call the cops, let someone get addicted to something, whatever you got to do. But that first marriage is going to be a nightmare. Just know your first marriage is going to blow.
Yeah, just
and
practice.
Then the second one is great because now you know what you won't put up with and what you will put up with. Now, It's her first marriage, so that's weird. It's my second, it's her first. Oh. So the
she has something to look forward to.
But she's younger than me, so I'll die first. So she'll get it. She'll get a second shot, and it'll be great for her.
Yeah, you're like her sensei for the second marriage.
She introduces you. This is my first husband, Christopher. What do you mean first husband? Why did she say first husband, Christopher? That's weird.
Well, last time you were here as well, you were talking about the crowdfunding for that, special unit, and did you not reach the...
We didn't reach the goal. We raised a bunch of money, we have a bunch of money, but we're not enough to do it. We're going to start filming it in October. We start filming in October in the fall. We're getting investors now. We're still doing it. I had a lot of weird controversy happen because behind the scenes, people were like, you can't do this. You're making fun of disabled people. And I'm like, no. And it's the total opposite. You know, I kind of nailed it down since I saw you guys last. Basically, special unit, due to the Fairness and Disability Act, the LAPD has to hire 4 handicapped undercover detectives. Now, I play Nick Nolte's mugshot pretty much in this thing, and I think I've described it before. Well, people go, you can't make fun of handicapped and disabled and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I'm not. How come every black comic can make fun of his culture? They can actually go in and do the Fridays movies or whatever, and it's funny. Make fun of the hood, make fun of the welfare thing, all the stuff that you, as a white guy, if you did it, you'd be racist for.
Right. Yeah.
Black people can own, and as long as they own it, it's hilarious. Disabled people, for some reason, when they go, okay, yeah, I know I'm a midget. I know I got cerebral palsy. Let's write comedy based on that and the stuff that's happened to me, and let me own it. People get really protective. I had someone literally tell me, someone go, you know, you can't just do that to them. And I go, I'm not whipping them. I didn't enslave them and bring them in. They've all agreed to. Josh Blue's going to be it. Brad Williams is a friend of you. Brad's going to be in it. And so it's – anyway, so we're doing that now. We're going to start filming next
week. Are you having difficulty because, like you said, the black comedian can talk about, you know, I didn't say black jokes all day long.
Or Aziz Ansari can talk about the Indian.
But do you – but you're not handicapped.
No, I'm not. No, they – no, but they – I'm just saying –
let them sell it.
Yes.
Trust me, I will. Well, they're a bunch of gimps. I can't let them do that. See, there you go, right there. And now everybody's on there. They go, my God, he just went the other way with it.
That's the best.
He's all emotional, and they're like, Christopher
Titus. He's such a caring person. Well, that's the whole point of the character. He's such a jerk, and these guys end up becoming this really crazy, this really great crew. Who would be the best undercover cops in the world?
Yeah,
a bunch of disabled people, because you would never expect it. So they infiltrate this drug dealer. They stop a school shooting. I wrote in the script a school shooting, which is really – because basically the mayor goes, all right, you guys can be cops. They finally earn it. But the mayor then, the next thing you see, that we're driving in the car and they're wearing these big cartoon badges and hats and everyone's pissed. Everyone's just like, oh my God. And we end up going to do an assembly at a school and they end up like, the kids want, like, they're like, dance midget. Like, the kids are just horrible. And so what ends up happening is the 4 of them start getting this weird competition in front of the kids at the assembly to get the kids fired up. Well, one of the dads comes in, you hear a shotgun blast, and a dad comes in mad that he's getting divorced and they're going to take his kids. And they end up taking this guy down and no kids get hurt. And I thought, it's weird because I wrote it before Newtown and stuff. And so I'm looking at it now going, huh, I guess another reason why people can say no to this movie. How many reasons can Titus come up with to make this never happen? But you know what, though? At the end of the day, I think as with when I did my comedy at Norman Rockwell or the new show is called Angry Pursuit of Happiness, as I've done all this stuff, I just go, the only way to get this stuff to get kind of take the edge off of it is to just go right at it.
Right.
And some people go around it and it never gets solved. So I said, well, I just go right at it. So we're going right at school shootings in my new movie with the handicapped.
Is it because
people.
You're like,
oh my God, I just heard it. I just heard it again.
Yeah. It's because you're happy.
I feel like I feel like Hitler at one point go, you know, the Jew thing was a good idea. And then he was talking about it. And then he went, wait a minute, I've gone too far now. I just heard myself go too far.
It's
so
probably because you're, like you said, you're excited. I see you talk about your new marriage and your wife. You're happy.
She's amazing.
So you feel like you probably got to go deep and dark to find the comedy now because it's probably hard to find it just on the surface.
No,
for you.
Well, this new show.
So happy.
Yeah, this new show is. It's not that I'm happy. I'm trying to find happiness because the Declaration of Independence says life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It doesn't say be happy. It says pursue it. Mm-hmm. You find happiness, you track it down, you choke it out, and you take that happiness. I mean, our entire country is based on the life and pursuit of happiness. I want it bigger. I want a bigger car and a smaller girlfriend. And all you women want a cuter car and a bigger.
boyfriend. I want to pay down my debt so they can raise my limit. Then I can put a down payment on a facelift. So when I'm 70, I'll look like I'm 70 with a facelift. Exactly. You know, it's just like there's at the end you think you're going to win something, but there's no winning. We're all pretty much going to go the same way. I mean, when you're born, you push through a hole the size of a quarter dollar, and you know you're miscolored and misshapen. And you look like a freeway safety cone that was hit by a drunk driver. You know, you're covered in your own poop, and nothing works, and everybody, you can't communicate. Everybody says pisses you off. You're just so there's no happiness. Then from 5 to 10, you're just a mobile idiot. What does a stone feel like? Is that electricity? I'm gonna chase my ball into the street. Come here, Rottweiler, and everybody's screaming at you. Put that down. Take that out of your mouth. Shut up. Go to your room. No happiness. 10 to 15, you start mutating. So your hair starts coming out of you, bumps start forming on the women, and they start bleeding for absolutely no reason. You know, there's pus is coming out of your face. You look at even armor all the time. You're hornier than you've ever been and uglier than you will ever be. No happiness. And 15 to 18, you're just a brilliant retard. Man, wow, if mom and dad were dead, I could live in their house and use their bank account. You're just a dumb. And that's how pretty much life goes, and you're never happy. Then at 60, once you think, I've got it nailed, I finally got my second marriage, is working great. 60, you wake up one day with a little pain, and you're just like, what the hell is that? You go to the doctor, he goes, did you used to drink a lot of Mellow Yellow? Yeah, I did. Well, the Mellow Yellow now causes this weird nerve ball under your ribs, and what's going to happen is the nerve ball's connected to your foot, and for the next 5 years, we can't stop it. Your left foot's going to grow 5 sizes bigger than your right. And then you just, that's how life goes for us. And then you have a stroke when you're 70, and the weird part about that is that when you have this stroke, the side that goes numb is the side with the good foot, so now you're walking. So then you finally do physical therapy for like 6 years, which doesn't cost you anything. For some reason, Obamacare worked out. Who knew? And then you wake up one day, 73, you got all your muscles back, you're perfect, and no one can tell you had a stroke, and then you're ready to pursue happiness. 2 months later, the universe flicks your switch and you die. And in your last moment of indignation, you saw yourself with your last meal of chili beans and blood thinners. That's how it goes. Pretty much for everybody. You know, and then your family fights over your house. And then 2 months after that, the house should be 30 years on, get sold to the next bitch on a donut run. That's what happens. And that's how it's going to go. So we pursue happiness with there's no winning. So just enjoy it now. That's what I'm saying. And
you do
be happy
find
now.
The bright side of everything.
Be happy now. The whole point of the show is be happy now because it's going to be a nightmare.
The angry pursuit of happiness.
The Christopher Titus.
Don't cry. Wipe those tears. Do not cry.
He's going to be performing at the Irvine Improv today through Sunday, irvine.improv.com, and go on to indiegogo.com. Just type in special unit, search it out, and they can...
That campaign's done. How many campaigns can you do? Can I just keep doing it? I just keep...
We'll put it on the website. I'll donate.
Yeah, put Indiegogo. We're going to start a new campaign today, actually. Yeah, that'll be now my third campaign.
We're going to reframe everything. Yeah. Right.
And you're also... Do you have a CD out now?
Voice in My Head is out. You can go only get... I took my own distribution back, so it's at... Voice in My Head is at ChristopherTitus.com. You can get all my other DVDs signed from my website, or you can go to Amazon.com, and they've got my other DVDs.
That means you don't have to share the money.
We know it's weird. I know why Prince had slave written on his face. Like, it's weird. At one point, I never thought I would relate to Prince, but at one point on My Love Is Evil contract.
More than the purple raincoat.
I finally got I got the breakdown from Paramount Pictures, who owns the distribution, and they've sold so much more than I should be getting paid on. They said, no, you have shelving fees, and then we have a fee from Phil, the box guy. Yeah. He got $14, and there's this list of people that got paid.
Wow.
And I didn't. And I released in 2009. I still haven't received another check. Nothing.
Wow.
And they keep saying, no, we don't owe you anything. And yet when I go on stage and I go, so Love Is Evil, woo! How does everybody know across the country and I don't have a dime?
Oh, my God.
So now I own it all. And if you guys want it, so just know that the stuff's going to me. I've also started my everything's going well. The new podcast, Titus Podcast. After they listen to you guys, they should go to Titus Podcast. We go after Philip No More Hoffman. Yeah. And we do this. Mm-hmm. I got to say, I'm a little mad about it. The guy had 3 kids and stuff.
What I say.
People got kind of mad at me that I'm like, hey, this guy, he's an addict, it's a disease. No, it's a choice. You had everything going for you, and you chose to buy
5 bricks of heroin.
Yeah, it's not like just a little bit.
It's not like he stumbled into it. He made a plan.
Yeah.
He was buying heroin for the apocalypse. That's what he was doing.
My original theory was that.
Yeah, exactly. He was a heroin prepper.
Before we knew it was 5 bricks, I thought, you know, how does that happen? A guy who's like sober for 20 years and all of a sudden he just ODs on heroin. I thought that it was like that when you've probably done this where you come across a stash that you hit a long time ago and you're like, I still have these mushrooms? And then you're like, they're probably no good. Then you eat the whole bag. I figured that's what he did, and that's how he went out. Because I've done that before.
He just stumbled across a brick of heroin. You know, you'd have thought I remember that. You know, had I not done so much heroin, I might have remembered this brick of heroin.
Where it is.
Where I put this.
Yeah. Heroin does make you a little absent-minded, I gather. Yeah.
Christopher Titus, thank you for coming in. Go see him tonight or through Sunday at the Irvine Improv.
No, all new show from last time, too. And Voice in My Head is out, and we're going to film this one in September.
Sweet. Cool. Thank you, man.
Thanks, guys. Always a blast.
We'll be right back. We're Heidi and Frank. Come back to 95.5KLOS.com every day to hear more clips like these and to get the entire Heidi and Frank show. Go to HeidiandFrank.com and become a premium member. All access, people. On demand. Webcast. Behind the scenes. Too much to name right here. Go to HeidiandFrank.com. Check it out.